brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, why did God make man if he knew man was going to sin? Man does not know the answer to this question and really cannot find it. But man, except generally, of course, but man keeps asking. There are other questions too. Let me give you a few examples. Why did God make man with different colors, since so many racial problems have occurred because of the color of one's skin? Did God plan the fall of mankind and then decided to create, or did God create man and then plan the fall of mankind? Or one more example, and you remember from the context from last week. Solomon stated that there were tyrants in the world and that Christians had to learn to deal with them. Why does God allow tyrants in this world when they cause so much pain and suffering? You can see it. You travel around a little bit or you read the newspapers, you would see tyrants and the brutal reign of terror in many countries. You think of countries like Haiti and the cruelty of the leaders in the past. And they've continued to have cruel leaders. Communism. Look at the suffering. Remember when we were in Ukraine recently and went outside of the city, it looked like the whole city was bombed. The whole towns were bombed and never rebuilt. The people lived, if you see the photographs that are in the room on the table, people were living in what looked like shacks. So you wouldn't put your animals there because they're not well insulated. And big holes in the wall. Hard life. Why? And that came as a result of the tyranny. That's a place where Stalin murdered millions of people. Why did God allow those things to happen? Solomon then wrote addressing some of the obvious questions that would come into those readers' minds about the unknowable ways of God. And this is what God wants you to hear about today, so listen to his word. The headings are very simple. The headings are, it's foolish to attempt to know the unknowable. And second, it's wise to accept your limitations. It's really the same point from two different angles. It's foolish to attempt to know the unknowable. It's wise to accept your limitations. Our goals are that you will rejoice in and use what God has given you in His Word, knowing that He tells you everything you need to know and believe about Christ, your salvation, and how you must live as a Christian. First point. It is foolish to attempt to know the unknowable. Solomon begins, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on the earth, even though one sees no sleep, day or night. The sentence continues, but you get the point what he attempted to do here. One. So man wants to know everything about everything, even secret things. He wants to know why God does some of the things he does. God tells him some things, but he's not satisfied with that. He wants to know why God let evil people live long. Why do good people die young? I'm sure that thought came across our brothers in London when they buried a man in his 40s a couple weeks ago. Why are people of evil religions often quite wealthy and churches often struggle to make ends meet? Why do some people just work just as hard as other people still work for 1/100th of what the other person works for in doing the same work and just as hard? Why does God allow some countries to have natural resources and other countries have mountains of snow? They get the oil and we get the frozen tundra. Why? You've heard that asked. Probably before. Why does God not stop wicked people from pretending to be Christians? After all, those who are pretending to be Christians hurt the cause of Christ and bring a bad name to Him. Muslims and many other false religions like to raise that issue and say, aha, look at Canada, look at the United States. Most people in those countries say they are Christians. Look at what they're doing. Look at the lives they're living. Your religion allows so much perversion. Adultery, disrespect for parents. Our religion doesn't allow that. Why does God allow those people to claim to be Christians when you know they're causing Christ to get a bad name? See, The bigger issue here is that man's knowledge is never satisfied. This questioning of God is not new, and his providential work is not new either. Now, God is not opposed to learning things. So you must not revel in ignorance. You need to know what God has revealed to you. I remember once growing up where there were Christians around us who argued vehemently, saying, "You're not to read any other book than the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and only read the Bible." It sounded pious, but it was really, really foolish. God expects man to know about many things, and explaining the Word of God, that's good. And the things you study, there are many things that you will learn, new things. God is not surprised by LTE, long-term evolution, I think. 4G, and how many G's they're up to now? I think 4 was last. That's one of the reasons he went to China. They're testing out their the LTE network there. Nanotechnology, or the fact that someone 10,000 miles away can pinpoint now where you are up to 1 centimeter. So they can get you, can find you. There are many things man does know. But considering our context, Solomon, for instance, he himself learned many things. Solomon studied poetry. He wrote and memorized thousands of Proverbs. He studied horticulture and sciences. He studied about war. He was a skilled student of war. He studied construction, design buildings, technology. He studied about winemaking. He studied justice from other countries, and incorporated what was good in other places and procedures. He was a brilliant man. John Gill, describing Solomon, said, "He took notice of something. He contemplated on it. He considered it, and he weighed it well and viewed the various steps and methods of it to find out, if possible, at least some general rule by which it proceeded." In other words, he wanted to know things. So as Christians, we're not to be uneducated. God wants people to be knowledgeable, to be brilliant, to learn technology. You young people, think about that in your studies. There's nothing wrong in doing advanced studies. But there are some secret things that God does not want man to know. True, God blesses us with wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Together, "For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight." It is a blessing from God to be a scientist. It's a blessing from God to know history. All of those things can be used for the kingdom's good. Well, let me ask this question. Why does man want to know secret things which God has not revealed to him? Man wants to know everything, but God said, "No, there are some things I want you to know." Why does man want to know what God does not tell him? There may be different reasons, and different people have different reasons for it, but I identify three of them. One, man wants to know everything because he wants to control his own destiny. He believes the more scientific facts he has, the more stuff he knows, that even the secret things that God doesn't tell him, if he knows that, he can know how to live and he can be the boss of himself. Second, man wants to know because he's curious. You know, we have the old saying, curiosity killed the cat. And you want to know something, you're not supposed to go there, but you still want to go there. Just curious. You know, sometimes you have that, you want to remember that you hear a song and you want to remember who the singer is, or you want to remember a song and you just can't get the words. And thank God for internet, you can go and satisfy most of those curiosities very quickly. You can find it. But at times you're trying to hum something and get the words and it's not coming in. And there's that pressing point of wanting to do so. But over-curiosity is bad. There's a difference in trying to remember the songs because you want to develop your own memory again and make sure you're not forgetting things. But over-curiosity becomes bad. And third reason that some people want to know secret things, sometimes man wants to be lazy. and not bother to work out and search for things. He just wants things to be thrown in his lap. For example, Jesus pointed out that there were those who, he said, if they knew when the master would return, would use their time to be lazy rather than to do the work that they were called to do. So there's some things that are withheld from us. You know how many problems have been caused in the last 50 years when people start predicting when Jesus was going to come back. And it's happening again. Apparently he's going to come again later this year in October, I think. And they always set these dates. God doesn't tell us that. Look at what Matthew chapter 24, 42 through 44 said. Together, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, you notice in Matthew 24, there are some things Jesus told them. They knew when the Romans were coming that this was danger. They had to run out to Jerusalem and so on. God told them that because they needed to know that. But at the end of, beginning at verse 36, then Jesus starts talking about his second coming. And he says, even the Son of Man doesn't know that. He gave them specific directions before, but he said, of this one, you don't know. Why? He said, if you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be prepared. But he says, I want you to always be prepared. He's coming when you don't expect him. So when these people are setting dates, you think, well, if you're expecting him then, that's quite contradictory to the scriptures. He probably is not going to be coming at that time. There's another example that Jesus talked about too. You go, the man in the parable, he says, you go away and you don't tell people when you're going to come back. If you're the master, you come when unexpectedly. What was the point of that? That you're always prepared. So the person who knows, well, the boss is going to be coming back on May 14th, He'll be partying until May 13th. And then he'll start getting busy. Right? The boss at work doesn't put a bell on his clothes so you can hear him coming, and then you start pretending that you're working. He wants you to be working all the time. If you knew when the boss was coming, I saw there's a new show that's being advertised that's supposed to be watching people in restaurants and what they're doing. You might want to consider eating in restaurants after you've seen some of the motion, what people do to your food in those places. But they have the cameras that are going to show people what's... So the boss can really track down what's happening in the restaurant. That's really the point of it. But this idea of... the Lord tells us there's some things we don't know, and because he knows that if we knew all the details, that we'd become complacent. He doesn't tell us. But back to our main point, which is this. These ever curious and overly curious people take a lot of time trying to find out truth, not even allowing themselves rest. You notice that? The language of verse 16. Even though one sees no sleep, day or night. They want to know what they do not know, and God is saying, you're not going to know it. This shows an underlying problem. That man is often not satisfied with what God has given to him. Remember, this goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. They desired to be wise and ate of the forbidden fruit. She wanted to be like God, and what foolishness and what a horrible sin. Let's read Genesis 3, 5 and 6 together. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. What was the point? The desire to know more. God didn't tell them. Maybe they want to know why God put two trees here. Tree of life? Why? Whatever the reason, it was because of this lust for knowing what God doesn't tell them. It is foolish to want to know what God doesn't tell you. But now we come to the second point. It is wise to accept your limitations. It's wise to accept your limitations. Solomon continued, verse 17, "Then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, yet he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know, he will not be able to find it." Even a wise man, he says, will not be able to find it. Solomon then contemplated God's providence properly and recognized the impossibility of fully grasping the purposes of God's providence. It's big language saying, you don't know the reason God does what he does. So he accepted his limited knowledge. He accepted his limited knowledge. You see, even though a man may find out many things that God has done, he knows a lot less about the reasons, the why God has done what he has done. We understand that God would have done some of the secret things, that God controls everything. We understand that God controls the heart of the king, that God created the world, that God flooded the earth, and so on. There are sometimes we don't know why that is the case, as some of the questions I raised earlier. The Apostle Paul reiterated the reminder that God, that many of God's providential acts are outside of man's ability to fathom. And we'll look at some passages now from the teaching of God's Word. Romans 11:33. Together, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." In other words, you don't know some things. They're too great for you. Your puny little brain cannot grasp the incredible beauty, majesty, and power of God. I had a professor who always used to talk about our little pea brain. And we're trying to put all of these things and to know what we can't really comprehend. So great it is. Moses earlier made a similar statement. So there are some things that God did not want men to know. In this case, God did not want men to know why he was punishing his people. God purposely conceals certain things, and sometimes certain things from certain people. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24. This is the famous passage that is often used, and you have to read the context to grasp the whole thing. But beginning at verse 24, "Together, all nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? Then the people would say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he has with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they went out and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they did not know and that he had not given to them. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against this land, to bring on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." Of this law. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. In this case, he's saying, look, when you see my judgment, I want you to know why this is the case. I want you to know that I'm punishing you because you have broken the covenant with you. That you made with me. And the seriousness of that brought the heavy judgment upon you. But then he says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. It's in this context saying, something you know, and some things you just will not know. The Apostle Paul claimed this personal ignorance about a situation, but rested in God's providence. Look at this interesting situation, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 2, "Together, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven." Now this is speaking, of course, when he was converted, and he's saying, I really don't know about how the Lord worked this in me. He didn't deny the work of the Lord. He knew that the Lord had worked in him. But how exactly God worked in him? He said, I don't know. Maybe he took me up into heaven. Maybe he didn't. So whether he was in the body or whether he was not in the body, was he dead for a time? He couldn't explain the work of God. But he accepted it. And he went and preached the message of Jesus Christ. Dr. Luke also pointed out that there were some things that a man will not know and should not ask to know. Like when the kingdom would come. And this is one of the nicer situations that illustrates this point clearly. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Jesus was raised from the dead. He's just about to go back into heaven. And he knew that. But look at what the disciples say, beginning at verse 6. Together. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Lord has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I love this one. God knows some things and you are not going to know it. But, by the way, you've got work to do. You've got responsibilities. What was he saying? Don't be bothered about things that God didn't tell you. You have a loving Father. You have one who's redeemed you. You belong to him. You work for him. Now, you have this father-son relationship as well, so he will care for you and give you everything you need. But he's not going to tell you everything. You do that with your children, don't you? You say, I'm going to be gone. I want you to do this and this and this. You want them to do the chores in the house. And you're not going to tell them what time you're going to be back. You show up and they're not done. Then you want to question, well, why didn't you? Well, we didn't know you were going to come back early. No, that's not acceptable behavior. You have a job. You're required to do it. And that's what the Lord was telling his disciples here. And when will Christ return at the end of the earth? This was a question the disciple asked Jesus, and people continue to ask the same question today. Matthew 24, verse 3, together. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus was going to talk about some things, and he was actually talking about some things already. So they asked him, what will be the sign of your coming? And a second, what will be the sign of the end of the age? You read from Matthew, first part of it, Jesus gave specific signs to speak of his coming in judgment on Jerusalem, and then he talks about something completely different. One thing, he gives them specific directions. The other one says, you don't know. You're not going to know. I'm not going to tell you. As a man, he himself did not know. They asked for a sign, but they got none. Now, in accepting your limitations of knowledge of God's providence, there are some things you would do well to remember at the same time. Limited knowledge will help you to accept God's providences. If you don't know, you will learn that this is part of what God has called you to do. God does what is best for his children. God does what is best for his children. You don't know all the things that happen in the background, but this is what you know. God will do what is best for his children. He says he cares for the sparrows, and those are everywhere. And he said he has numbered the hairs on your head. That should take away any worries about the future. You know, he said one of the reasons people want to know is because they want to control the future. But look, you have a God who has numbered the hairs on your head. They have a number, each one. That's really what it's saying. Each one's got a number. Imagine the detail of that. Romans 8:28, famous verse. Together, and we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The ones who are the called according to his purpose. God will do what is best for you. You are his children. He redeemed you. Luther said, well, you belong to God. Let him see to your affairs now. God's problem. Really what he was saying. That's a good point. You need to trust in God and say, Lord, you know my problems. Help me. You know my sins. Help me. You know my needs. Provide for them. You didn't redeem me to lose me. Second, you need to be assured that God will take care of you. You need to rest in that assurance. You need to remind yourself. And this is why you read God's Word every day. This is why, Kevin and Nod, you need to be reading the Scriptures like you all need to do regularly, so you are nourished and reminded of God's love and God's watch care over His people. So you can accept His providences. Even though you don't understand the background, you know you belong to Jesus Christ. And the third thing, what I've been alluding to already, God does not want you to become preoccupied with some things that would rob you of the time to do your other duties. That's why you don't know as much about heaven. Sometimes I sat down trying to think about the details of heaven. How much of it is literal and how much of it is figurative? You can become preoccupied with that. That Bible actually talks a lot more about hell. That's for a reason, isn't it? But not to become preoccupied with all the things of heaven. Are the streets literal gold? I want to think about that. The Bible talks of it that way. Or does it mean preciousness? Is there literal gold there? Glass? Sea of glass? Real water? Well, what about the tree of life? We be eating there? What will we be eating there? You can become preoccupied with some of these things. You know what? The Lord doesn't tell us. And it's for good reason. You become preoccupied with those things. And that's why you see in Acts chapter 1 that we read, the disciples were sent to build the kingdom of God rather than wondering when the kingdom would be established. Would you at this time establish the kingdom and drive the Romans out and set up yourself as king? The Lord says, go preach the gospel, make disciples of the whole world. What a way to send them packing. Don't become preoccupied with what you don't know. Let me tell you what I want you to do. The scripture says Christ will have dominion over land and sea. Now go. Baptize and make disciples of all the nations. So instead of complaining about what you don't know, learn to adore the one who controls the future. Learn to accept the deepness of God's unsearchable plans. Let's conclude. Man must stop philosophizing in areas in which he cannot have any knowledge. To do so is to waste your life and not do the things that you were called to do. Those who spend time looking where they cannot see are setting themselves up for God's judgment. You see, Jesus describes it in His Word clearly. Occupy until I come. Be busy raising your families, worshiping God, building up the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Be busy with those things until I come. Don't waste time on what you cannot know and what you should not know. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, whatever God does, even if it does not appear to make sense to you, know that He did it with proper cause. His ways are always just. His ways are always good. Accept that in some things you will be learned, but in other things you will be ignorant. Don't complain about that. Don't be ashamed of that either. You are not God. You don't know everything. When people challenge you, well, why did God do that? I don't know. The Bible says God does everything for His glory. So it must serve His purpose somehow. Don't be ashamed to say that. If God is working in their heart, they will accept that as well. Two, you must give in to the will of God, knowing that He does what is best for His children. Don't pretend to find reason for everything. Rather, worship God for the depth of His unsearchable counsels and work for the building of His kingdom. And three, what you do need to know, you do need to spend time learning what He has revealed to you. You needed to know how to be saved, and He has shown that to you. God the Father sent His Son to teach you how to be redeemed by Christ's blood. He was your prophet. And He paid the price for your freedom by giving of Himself. He was your only high priest. And He has revealed in the Scriptures that Christ now rules over you and keeps you safe. He is your King. Be thankful for this knowledge. Enjoy this knowledge. Serve Him for this knowledge. And wait, you will learn more in heaven. But that's the time when you will learn more. You'll never know everything. But wait for heaven. In the meanwhile, work and work. Finally, one of the most contemptuous comments I've heard is a person saying, well, if God wanted me to believe, he would show me a sign. God will give me a special sign. Now, in the first case, you remember that this, by saying this, they're ignoring the direct words of God, that they need to repent and believe. But those who say this think that God's delay in judgment means that judgment is not coming. They think they don't see a direct sign. Maybe it's off in the future somewhere. Well, you're wrong. I urge you to use the time that God has given to you to make your life right with God. Christ died for the sins of the world. Ask God to count Christ's death as yours so you can have everlasting life. Now you know this. This is something you need to know. This is something that God is revealing to you today. You have to act on it. Let's pray.